Well, hi, and welcome to the Grace Christian Church podcast with Pastor Rob Parlente. Grace Christian Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church meeting right here in Manalpin, New Jersey. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. at the Manalpin Community Center. Come check us out.
Thank you for being here today. If you're on Facebook Live today, thank you for joining us. My name is Rob Parlente. I'm the pastor here at Grace Christian Church. And I want to fill you in a little bit about our church. We meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Manalpin Community Center, and that's on Route 33 in Manalpin Township, New Jersey. And a typical service involves worship time, where we enter into the presence of the Lord through music. And we have a message, and the messages range from topical messages to series. In series, we go through books. And as a matter of fact, we're going to probably start next week going through the book of Romans. So Romans is a wonderful book. And we'll start working our way through that next week. And then a typical service after, we have a message, we have a fellowship time, we have group times after that. So welcome. If you're in the vicinity, you want to join us, please join us. Welcome. So the title of my message this morning is Power Source Prayer. Power Source Prayer. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. Now, last week I preached on another message called Dynamite Prayer. And that was, gentlemen's laughing back there, amen, bro. Dynamite Prayer. And that prayer was one of the prayers of two. There's two prayers in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 to 3. And that prayer was a prayer penned by Paul, and it could be our prayer as well, for the Ephesian believers and us as well to understand this concept or idea of their identity in Christ, who they are. And Paul penned those words because he wanted the Ephesian believers and us as well as we read today to understand that our identity, and there's another prayer we'll look at, we'll also understand that, is a way to live, not to jump to application or walking in a manner worthy of our calling. So Paul wanted us to understand who we are and what we possess in order to do chapters 4 through 6, which is application, the word walk. Walk in a manner worthy, walk in wisdom, all these different types of ideas of walk. But specifically in last week's prayer, Paul wanted the Ephesians to understand their hope, their inheritance, and their power. And it was really nice. I love the verses at the end there, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? Amen? So chapters 1 through 3 are application, and knowing who we are, and then, excuse me, an application 4 to 6. So that one prayer was to understand who we are and our identity and how to walk in newness of life. But there's another prayer that goes hand in hand with this prayer, and that's the one in chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. And this prayer is a little different. This prayer doesn't talk about one's identity more than it really talks about the source, or the source to live the Christian life from that source. So I want to look at that today. I'm going to look at this second prayer in Ephesians, these verses today. And we'll discover God is our power source, guys. God is our power source to live the Christian life and in walking a manner worthy of our calling. And we're going to look at four power sources that are available to us that are initiated by God. And we'll go through that through the message. So the four power sources are your inner man, which is verse 16. We'll get to understand what an inner man is today. Your heart, verse 17, first part A. We'll look at Christ's love, which is verse 17, B to 19, beginning of A, 19A, beginning of verse 19. Then God's divine presence, which is the end of 19. So I'm going to read now Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. And I'm reading from the Amplified. Now the Amplified Bible gives a little more explanation and a little more color to the scripture. And I think it fits well to this passage. So if you have your Bible, whatever version you're reading, follow along with me. I'm starting in verse 14. And then after I read this, we'll open in prayer. It says, "For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, the Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you, out of rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being personally. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it, that you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourself, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experiencing. Though you may be filled through all your being unto the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Well, let's bow our heads and open the prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures and this second wonderful prayer Paul penned in the book, first couple of chapters of Ephesians, chapter 3. It is my prayer, Lord, your spirit would speak through me today to the hearers today sitting here and through online or Facebook, that they would understand that you are the only source to live the Christian life. You are the only source that we can rely on and trust in to live life, this life. I pray, Lord, we'd abandon our self-effort. We'd abandon ourselves as source of self-reliant, and we just go to you in all these things. And this prayer is a prayer for the Ephesians, and I pray that's our prayer too, to you, that we would understand this prayer and what it means. In Jesus' name, amen. So, verse 14. For this reason, I'll go back to this. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan, with which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. The Father, from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. You know, I said this last week, that Paul penned this prayer. But this prayer could be your prayer. Amen? This prayer could be your prayer personally for you, that you would ask God these same things that Paul is asking for the Ephesians. But Paul talks about this. He goes to God the Father and he prays to him. He says, he goes to the Father. He says, he sees the greatness in his plan. You know, there is a plan for every one of us as his child of God. Amen? You know, we are in Christ. We have certain inheritance for being in Christ. God is revealing to us his plan, and this plan is revealing progressively what we already possess in Christ. You know, when I first got saved, I had no concept or understanding of this idea of being in Christ or my identity in Christ. Yet my identity is who the Bible says I am. If God says I am this, that's my identity. I had no idea what my identity was. I just knew I needed Jesus, and I prayed to receive him 30 years ago. But you know what? God has a plan, and I believe it's this. Most of it is this, to reveal to us progressively what we already possess. That was the first prayer. That's our identity. And in the first prayer, in chapter 1, he said that you understand your new hope, your new inheritance, and the power that you have. And it's the same power that Christ was raised from the dead. It's the same power that's in you. Now, I remember back in the late 90s, I read a book called Classic Christianity. You guys have probably heard of that book, right? That's a fantastic book by Bob George about describing and understanding one's identity in Christ. I think he kind of spearheaded that whole idea within Christian circles. But that book is a wonderful book. I encourage you to read it. I encourage you to read it. It's about Bob George, who recently has passed, who was a pastor. And his identity, I believe, was most of it in that book was being a minister. And then God took that away from him, and then he didn't have anything. And he realized, you know what? I need a source of Christ to live life. Mm-hmm. But it's a wonderful book. But here's what I want to say today, is what I've noticed, that I understood, and I think many of us understand our identity in Christ, okay? But sometimes we don't understand the source to live the Christian life. It's two different things. Sometimes we understand who we are, but we don't know how to live from that source. We don't know how to live from God as our source, because identity and source are two different things. In my earlier ministry, I would tell folks, you know, this is your new identity, so live in it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then they would say, I'm trying, it's not working. In most cases, right? And the reason why it didn't work was because we can understand our identity in Christ, but we can still live from a source of self. Think about that. We can understand our identity, but we can still live from a source of self. And here's another point why it didn't work back then. Because I was telling men, like the people in those groups I was in, to trust in their flesh as a way to live from their new identity. And I wasn't telling them to live from God as their source. There's a difference. That's why this second prayer is so important today. Because in this first prayer, he talks about identity. And this prayer, in chapter 3, talks about source. Who's our source to live the Christian life? It is God. Amen. There's two prayers, not one. Two prayers that we need to understand. So I want to look at this today. Because the first prayer is a half step in the right direction from living. But the second step is a step to victory from living from Christ as your source. Okay? So I want to look at the first part of this prayer. And that is verse 16. The power source is this, your inner man. He says, verse 16. May he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. So what's the prayer request here from Paul? That God would strengthen and reinforce with power this thing called the inner man. Okay? Now, what is the inner man? Well, what do we know so far? We've preached a lot about this over the past couple of months, right? Man is made up of body, soul, and spirit, right? The body's the physical. The body's a physical body, okay, with senses, and we can sense. But then we know we have a spirit. A human spirit, when we're saved, is fused to the Holy Spirit. And we also know we have a soul. Our soul is our personality. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. So what is Paul praying here? He's praying that God would strengthen and reinforce with power this inner man. This inner man is really what it's coming down to, is that spirit soul. He's saying strengthen that spirit soul. Not the external, not the body, but strengthen the soul, the spirit soul. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this. Therefore, do not be discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, wearied out through fear, though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner man, inner self, is being progressively renewed day by day. What is Paul saying in Corinthians? That outer man is decaying, okay? But that inner man is being renewed. How is it being renewed? You know what? The Holy Spirit is renewing, okay, that inner man. It's teaching. It's revealing truths to that inner man. The Holy Spirit reveals truths, and when we believe in them, we're free from that lie. We're free from that bondage. We're free from that lie that Satan has put in our minds as a child, perhaps. Okay? The Holy Spirit is specifically strengthening us by revealing truths to us. Amen? Replacing those lies that we believe with truth. And he does it every day. He does it every day if we ask him to reveal truth to us. Amen? Okay? Now, when we're saved, our spirit, human spirit, is fused to the Holy Spirit, joined. It's a new spirit. We're new creations in Christ. The second, the split instant we receive Jesus as our Savior, that spirit is new. Right there and then, that Holy Spirit is renewing that inner man. That Holy Spirit is connecting to you. And he's giving you. He's teaching you. He's giving you truths. You know what? Last week's prayer was, reveal your truths to me, right? Reveal these wonderful truths. And it's like a revelation. I said it last week. It's prayer in reverse, right? That's what it's doing here. The Spirit is strengthening the soul. It's strengthening the mind, will, and emotions and giving us truth. Amen? But here's the point in this part of the prayer. The inner man is a wonderful, it's a source of power in living the Christian life. But we need to choose to believe the truth revealed to our inner man by God. When we trust in it and we believe in it, I'm saying this, our power switch is turned on, amen? That power switch is going on, bang, like that. That's wonderful, wonderful prayer. So that source of power is the inner man. The Holy Spirit is connecting to that inner man. It's teaching that inner man. It's building up that inner man. It's strengthening that inner man. That's what it's there. That's what it's doing. Now the second source of power is your heart. Now, beginning of 17. God empowers our heart. Verse 17 says, the beginning, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. Okay? Now, what is the heart? What is the heart? We have a physical heart. that pumps blood, right? Is Paul referring to that physical heart here? Probably not. He's not. He's doing something different. It's more of a spiritual heart. It's more something new. You know what? The heart is a place where we talk. Ezekiel talks about the heart. He says back in the old covenant, you know, he's prophesying to the new. He's saying God's going to give you a new heart. In Ezekiel, right, 11:19, I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "And I will give them one heart, a new heart. And I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the stony, unnatural, hardened heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, sensitive and responsive to the touch of God." When we receive Jesus Christ, amen, that we have a new heart, okay? It's new. It's sensitive. It's responsive to the touch of God. It's like our inner being. I guess the best way to describe our heart is our inner being. It's who we are, okay? Our innermost being. Ezekiel prophesied that. In the old covenant, prophesying to the new, that we have the ability to have a new heart, amen? So what's Paul saying here? He's saying he's praying that Christ would dwell there. Well, he does dwell there when we receive Jesus Christ. He's there now. He's always there. Okay? But what is Paul trying to say here? He's saying that Christ would be there, dwell there, make his home there, and abide there. And I say that's this. That's Christ being at the center of your heart, and you deeply depending on it, okay? As your source. You deeply depending on him who's in your heart to guide you and teach you. Okay, brothers and sisters? This isn't initial saving faith. This is Christ dwelling, making his home in your heart. Amen? And it's a source of power. The heart is a source of power. Christ is there. But we need to choose to depend on him who's there. And when we do that, our power source, our power switch is turned on. Amen? So the inner man is being renewed and strengthened, and Christ is in our heart. What a wonderful prayer. What's Paul saying? He's saying, you have these sources. You have an inner man that is renewed. You have a new heart. Let Christ dwell in there. Let him abide in there. Be comfortable with him. Go to him with all things. He's your source. He's in your heart. He's your source. He's your source of power to live the Christian life. But then there's another source. Christ's love. Verse 17, half of that, verse 19, at the beginning of that. God talks about Christ's love. Verse 17, he says, "May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience." You know, we talk a lot about love, Christ's love. What's this love? The Greek for that is agape love. And what is agape love? We know, we've heard this many times in the past. It's unconditional love. God is love. God is unconditionally loves us as his children, amen? But you know what? Paul wants them to understand Christ's agape love to them. It's unconditional. It's unconditional. You know what? It's not based on God's love to us. It's not based on what we do. And this is such an error today in Christian circles that we're out of his love if we sin. No, we're not. Think of the prodigal son. Squandered the father's riches. Went away, came back. The father always loved the son. It's the same thing with God. He agape loves us unconditionally no matter what our actions are. He wants us to come back to him. Okay? But our perception is he doesn't love us, and that's our perception. Our perception is wrong, brothers and sisters. He loves us with an agape love. That's his nature. You know what? 1 John 4:16 says, beginning says this, "And we know, understand, recognize, are conscious of, by observation and by experience, and believe, adhere to, and put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes for us." And I love this part. God is love. So Paul wants them to understand this love. It's agape love. But then Paul says, "I want you to experience it. Practically experience it." You know what? How do we experience God's love? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever experienced it? And I can think of an example for me personally. I do a lot of driving, and I'm in my car for hours. And I put on a Christian song, or I hear a message, and sometimes it just hits me, and I just feel so overwhelmed by love that I actually weep to myself, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Sometimes we're playing a song, me and my wife and our group, mm-hmm. and we just, all of a sudden she stops, or I stop, and I'm like, you know what, time out. And we just feel like crying. It's just, you're feeling His love. You're feeling it overwhelmingly, just saying, thank you, thank you. That's what He wants. He wants us to experience that. He knows, I'm saying that now, my wife is crying, because I look at her, amen. I just say it, but you know, God, experiencing it, feeling it, being overwhelmed by it, knowing that you're hugged, that He loves you no matter what. God, that Paul's praying that you experience that overwhelming feeling of, you know what, He loves me. No matter what, He loves me. It's so overwhelming. But there's another way to experience His love, which I want to talk about. And that is when we express agape love to others. We experience it and they experience it.
Amen.
So powerful this is. And a friend of our ministry here, who's actually in Texas, Bill Loveless, and I mentioned I would quote him today, talk to him this morning, does conferences, Grace Conferences. It's based out of Texas, all around the United States now. And he sent a prayer request a few weeks ago that he was going to do a conference in a place where it was a different city, a different area, a different state. And he felt perhaps it wouldn't be, he didn't feel comfortable going to that church. It was a different ethnic type of church, a different set of people. He didn't feel comfortable. And he asked, he prayed to the Lord. And he said, what am I going to do? What should I do in this situation? And this is what he said God revealed to him, which I think is so powerful for us today. He prayed before he was going to go to this conference, what to do. And this is what God told him, and I think it's so powerful for us too. He said this, let me love them through you, and I will show you the power of my love. That is so powerful statement. God told him, and we're the same as him, guys, let me love them through you, and I will show you the power of my love. Amen? Mm-hmm. That is power. Amen? Paul is praying that we understand his love to us. We experience it overwhelmingly, but also the power of it through us. Okay? You know, he that agape love, you know, we can't produce that. I was so frustrated as an early Christian, and I would see all these exhortations to love, to love, to love, and I would say, I can't do it. I can't conjure it up. I'm not good enough. But now I kind of see, I understand God's agape love to me flows through me effortlessly. And not to judge, just love people. Let me love them through you, and I will show you the power of my love. God wants us to experience Him that way too as well. And his conference, by the way, a few weeks back, he replied to us, said it went wonderful. It was well received, and several churches came to the conference from that one little contact he had. That's a big amen, brothers and sisters. But Bill is no different than you or me. He's a child of God. He understood agape love in him and through him, and we can too. Amen? The source of agape love is God. You can't conjure it up. You can't produce agape love. It's impossible because we're humans. Amen? But Paul wants us to know that. Paul wants us to understand agape love, experience it, and let it be expressed through us, because this is very key. Christ's love is a source of power in living the Christian life. When we understand Christ's agape love to us, and allow it to flow through us. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying here is our power switch is turned on. Mm-hmm. Okay? Power switch is turned on. That is power. Love is power. Agape love through you is power. Okay. This last source to live the Christian life is God's divine presence. The second half of 19. That you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. May have the richest measure of divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. What is Paul saying here in the last part of this prayer? Okay. He's saying that the Ephesians be filled to the fullness of God. What does he mean? What does he mean, filled? What does he mean, the fullness? How does this work? You know what? You know what? Well, let's back up and say this. See this. We know that the Father was in the Son. Colossians 1:19, look, God the Father was in the Son. It says this, for please the Father, God the Father, that all the divine fullness, the sum of all divine perfection, powers and attributes, should dwell in him being Christ, permanently. So all that the Father was, God the Father, was in the Son. Now here's the incredible thing. We, as Christians, are in union with Christ, and Christ is in us. Amen? Mm-hmm. Christ is in us. Because in Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, "For the entire fullness of God's nature dwelt bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him." You have been filled by Christ, who is head over every ruler and authority. So here's the interesting thing. The fullness of God is in us. Christ is in us. God the Father is in Christ, and Christ's fullness, God the Father's fullness is in Christ. Christ's fullness is in you. So what does that mean? Fullness means to rely on him being there, being filled and flooded with Christ, allowing him to be the source of living life. That's what Paul's saying here. Right? He is the source. He's in us. He fills us. His divine presence is in us. How much more power can we have? Amen? We have it all. You know what? God's divine presence is a source of power in living the Christian life. When we allow his fullness to fill us, what am I saying? Our power switch is turned on. Now, I'm going to conclude. A little more to go here. Have you learned a little something about this prayer? It's a little different than the first prayer in chapter 1 of Ephesians. That's more of an identity prayer. This prayer is that you, as a Christian, have the source, a power source, to live the Christian life. The triune God is working in your life. The Holy Spirit, Christ, and God the Father all can together to help you, to be your source. It's all initiated by the triune God. It's all initiated by God. You know, your inner man is strengthened by the Holy Spirit. You have an inner man. Amen? Allow him to strengthen it. Allow him to show you truth. Allow him and trust him to replace lies. You know what? Your heart. You have a new heart. Christ is there. He's there for you. He's in your heart. He's a source. Trust him. He's in your heart. Christ's love to you is so incredibly powerful. Amen? Agape love to you. Loves you no matter what you do, no matter what actions you take. There's consequences of doing wrong. I understand. Amen? But you know what? He loves you no matter what. And you know what? The power of his love through you is incredible. You know what? People see Christ in you. People see his love through you. You want to share the good news? You want to share the gospel? Let them see that love in you. I love Bill saying that. I love that statement. Let me show you the power of my love through you. Amen? Yeah. And then God's divine presence. You know, we're filled with Christ. He is in us. We're in union with him. When we trust in him as our source, basically we're saying, I'm living off you being filling me. Yeah. We have an incredible access. We have an incredible access to power. But many of us, again, like I said last week, jump to chapters 4 to 6 in Ephesians and try to walk in all these ways, not understanding our identity in Christ and not understanding our power source to live the Christian life, which is God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? He's there for us. We cannot live it on our own. Have you discovered that? Have you figured that out? Because you know what? The end game of you trying to live life and self-effort or by law or by rules and regulations is you can't do it. You can't do it. You need a source. That is Christ. Depend on him. Depend on that inner man being strengthened. Your heart where he dwells. Christ's love to you and through you and his divine presence to fill you. That is the road to victory. That is the road to power. And the evil one does not want us to know that. But Paul penned it. Prayer 1, prayer 2. Amen? Let's turn our power switch on. Any electricians in the group? Let's turn the power switch on. We have access. We have a plumber, not a electrician here today. Amen?
Not today.
Let's turn the switch on. What an incredible way to live. What an incredible way to be used by God. Amen? We have the resources. We have the source. It is him. Amen. You know what? The power of God will be working in you. And his power will be working through you. Aren't those two prayers wonderful two prayers?
Amen.
They could be your prayers. Amen. They're not just for the Ephesians. It's Paul for them. It could be your prayers. And it's my prayer that you would pray this prayer every day. Amen. That God would reveal things to you. And you would trust in him. And you would be your source to live this Christian life. And when we do that, it's an incredible victory. And it's an incredible, abundant way to live. Amen. So I'm going to close this in prayer. And then we're going to sing a song. So let's bow our heads and close. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures, the book of Ephesians, and Paul kind of pinpointing these two prayers and saying, you know what, this is the foundation. This is the foundation of the Christian life. It's understanding what we possess, who we are, our inheritance, our hope, and our power. But in addition to that, it's the source to live the Christian life, which is you, strengthening our inner man, being in our hearts, at home there, depending on them, you being there, Lord. Depending on you filling us, and depending on you to be a source there. Amen. And looking at your love to us, Lord, that agape love that is so incredible as a source of power to us and through us. That is what you want us to know. That's what Paul wanted us to know in Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 before we took on the task of chapters 4 through 6, which is walking. I pray, Lord, you can take this to heart and you show us your ways and keep us reliant and dependent on you in all things. In Jesus' name.